Ryan Kuchera. I hope I said it well.
Perfect.
Czech surname, even if you don't speak Czech.
Yeah, exactly. Family,
you told me that your family maybe is not very happy about it. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm so happy to be here. This has been such a fun experience. So many great people, great tennis. You know, connecting with everyone. That's a big reason why I do this, the people. So I'm having a great time. How are you, man?
It's all good. We have amazing weather today. It's been some, I would say, difficult days. First day with rain. Yesterday, it was quite cold early morning. Then it was great weather. And it looks like that today we have the gift. So you're the women's head coach of Eastern Michigan University. But that's where you are at now, right?
Sure.
But it's been a long way for you to get here, which I think it would be very interesting to knowing. Because, Wisconsin-Milwaukee was an amazing year for you. Mm-hmm. I've been doing some research on you. A lot of stuff happened last year that bring you here. But I'm interested in knowing, like, why did you start coaching? How does your career look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I have kind of a really humble journey. I grew up in the middle of Iowa, which, for those that don't know, it's in the middle of the United States. It's a very rural area. There's not a lot of tennis there. That's not a very popular sport where I grew up, but I fell in love very early. I taught myself how to play the game. You know, we didn't have the strong club system. And so I taught myself hitting off a wall. And then, you know, I started just kind of playing tournaments on my own. And I was kind of a late bloomer, as they say. You know, I wasn't so great as a kid, but I kept getting better as I got older, and ended up playing at an NAIA college and had an amazing experience there. I was the only American on a team of all internationals from all over the world.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, I was the only guy who had a car, so I'm driving them everywhere. And, you know, they came to my house for Thanksgiving, and they became, you know, kind of a part of my family, these guys. And you know, connecting it back to your question, that's what really made me want to start coaching, was the connection I created, the team atmosphere, the bond I created with these people that are still like my best friends today, even though they're all over the world, and how much like my love for the game grew because of them, and how much I learned from them, they learned from me. And so when I graduated college, I was, you know, young, 22 years old, but I was really lucky. I got the opportunity to be a head coach at 22 years old at Minnesota State University, which is a D2 in very cold Minnesota. And the program had never been so good. You know, they'd been really weak, which is why they offered the job to a 22-year-old.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But we had a great, great experience there. We turned the team around, broke the program wins record. You know, and that's how I ended up at Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and had a great year there, was very happy there. But then, my big thing is I have a really strong vision for what I want my team to look like, what I want my program to look like, how I want the experience for my players to be. And Eastern Michigan came to me this time last year, like probably about this day last year, and said, we know who you are. We know about your vision. We know what you've done. You know, we want to give you the opportunity to do this at the highest level, at a program we think can be one of the best. And I kind of fell in love with my administration and their vision for, like, my bosses had a great vision for what they wanted the team to look like. And they really cared about tennis being successful. And, so I took the leap, and it's been amazing. We really turned the program around, created a really strong identity for our team, and fully international team. Last year we had 10 different countries. This year we're going to have 9 on the roster. It's such a blessing and such a fun time. I love it at Eastern. It really feels like home for me. And that's kind of, it's a windy journey, right? And
It does. I'm very surprised on the beginning of it, like self-taught tennis player. How did you find out about it? Was it watching TV? Was it?
Yeah.
How do you start practicing a sport when there's no, let's say, this guidance from family or friends, sure, or you know, kids that play at school? Like,
right. My family was all athletes. My brother was a very good American football player and track runner. My dad was a baseball player. And so I was always grew up being active. I loved basketball, swimming, all those. But yeah, it was exactly, I saw it on TV one time. Like it was just, it was like very early years of Nadal and Federer and of, like Leighton Hewitt was still very good then, and Roddick. And so I just became enamored with it. And we had courts very close to my house and a wall. There was a park across the street from where I grew up that had a large concrete wall. And so I would go out there with my ball and I didn't even have a cannonball. So I had one ball and a little racket. And I would I just fell in love. And I just, when I started playing tournaments, I wasn't good, obviously, but I was like, this is so fun. Like, and I would stay at the tournaments after I lost and like watch the good players and like, okay, how do I get to that level? And then I became okay. And then like, how do I get to the next level? And same thing in college. Like I got to college and I wasn't so good, but I had such a great time. I was like, how can I get to, where my teammates were? And, so just kind of a love for the game and a love for learning.
That's awesome. And not the usual way, I would say, but sure. This also shapes you.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Which I think is awesome. You also mentioned a thing that I think it's very interesting. So you're given the opportunity being 22-year-old to manage a team, and the team could be good or bad, but it's a huge responsibility for someone that, doesn't have the experience.
Absolutely.
Doesn't have the training that you will have in the next years. And you're still very young and you're doing giant steps every year, but that means more responsibility, more pressure.
Absolutely.
And did you doubt yourself at any moment? Do you constantly doubt yourself? How do you deal with this? Because it's a thing that we normally don't speak about.
Sure, yeah.
But being a young performer also, it's not about everything is like, it's not that everything is very cool and you're a rising star and you have a rising career, but it also has to, you have a lot on your plate too because of that. So have you felt that?
100%. We all feel that, no matter what level you're playing or coaching at, you're going to feel pressure. You're going to doubt yourself. Especially in those first couple of years, you always go into something thinking you know what you're doing and then realize very quickly that maybe you don't as much as you thought you did. But the way I dealt with it was the way we ask our players to seek help from us and seek mentorship. I sought a lot of mentorship from friends and other coaches who, have you ever dealt with this situation? Or, how did you handle when a player did this, or right? And I think connections and support, coaches need that as much as players do, right? Players get it from each other, coaches get it from each other. And that allowed me to learn quickly when I had challenges and mistakes. And also I always just think, one thing I teach to my players a lot is learning how to believe in your ability to respond to bad situations and learn from adversity. And you just got to understand that tough times are there for you. It's not something that's happening to you. It's something that's happening for you, to help you become a stronger, better person. So yeah, I mean, obviously, you're always going to have doubts. And obviously we play at a very high level. So every match, every day, there's a lot of pressure, right? Recruiting is a lot of pressure because these players are good and they have a lot of schools want them. But you know, that's a privilege, as Billie Jean King said. And it means you're doing something meaningful, which is what I'm here to do.
Yeah. Pressure is privilege.
Exactly.
That's an amazing saying. You just told me that you got help from other people.
Sure.
And you were also mentioning that once you were in your program at NAIA, you were the only American, and that you would bring them to your place. So would you say you've always been someone that likes to be not only surrounded by people, but welcoming, close? What would you say is your way to be? Because from what I'm learning from you, is I see that you're a close person.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Connection is everything. I think, you know, people are everything. Like, yes, I love tennis, but I love people more. And, you know, my role as a coach now is very special because I get to create this new family for these people and also create an environment to help them learn about themselves, learn about their teammates and their coaches, and learn about the world in a different way than they're used to. So yeah, that's, you know, that's kind of my style. I think a great quote is like, players don't care what you know until they know that you care. And obviously my job is to help them become the best tennis player they can be and the best person they can be and the best student they can be. But until they know that I care about them more than just their results on the tennis court and their performance, that buy-in, that commitment, that trust is not going to be there. So we do a lot as a group to make sure that everybody really, it's not just me and the players, it's the players with each other, with all the other people around, with my assistants, with our physios, and, you know, just make sure everybody is, you know, on more than just the surface level relationship.
Yeah. It's also a moment of their life where they are finishing to shape also their personality. Yes. You and your team are also playing a key role on how they will be as a person in the future, right? At the end, they spend lots of time with you, probably with you as a team, probably the most of their day-to-day time is spent with you. So, and that's also an extra responsibility apart from the one you have as a coach to give results, to play well, to get to your targets. You are at the same time shaping people's life, and that's a thing that lots of people don't think of. When we think about a coach, we think on the sport part of it, right? How do you manage that? Because I get that you have different people, they are in different stages. Even more if you deal with internationals as you do, which might have extra problems because they're far away.
Yeah.
And that's a huge mix of, you know, sporty targets, personal problems, teenagers in general, which is already a bunch of different things. And you're there trying to help them in every different part of their life, while at the same time working on your personal targets.
Right, absolutely.
How do you manage that? Because that's a lot.
Yeah, you're going to have 10 different, you know, 8 to 10 different young women, all from different cultures, different ages, and at different stages in their life with different goals. And so I think that first piece is the making sure you spend enough time with them, you know, one-on-one, you know, having personal meetings with them to know what are your tennis goals, what are your life goals, what are your academic goals. And then, you know, having those real conversations with them, what do you do well as a person? And then what are the things that hold you back? Because the things that may hold you back as a person are actually probably going to be the similar things that hold you back on the court, right? Whether it's maybe that fear of failure or maybe a little bit of immaturity or, you know, dealing with anxiety or all those things. And you know, and obviously we have a system of personal development where we have some key things that we want to hit on with our team every year to help them become better adults, whether that's managing stress, time management, communication skills. We work a lot on communication skills, not just how to talk to people, but nonverbal and body language. And, you know, and then, you know, it's, we do a lot of things, nutrition, sleep, all that. But then, yeah, you, like you said, each of the girls is going to have their own individual things that really struggle with them. And that's where, you know, once we can really get to the one-on-one conversation of what really is holding us back, then we have a lot of resources. I'm very blessed to have, you know, psychologists, sports psychologists on staff. We have nutritionists. We have, you know, we have a lot of resources. And so making sure that they get that individual attention with an expert, or if it's maybe not so much of a problem for an expert, I can set them up with a mentor of some kind to kind of guide them through that. Or maybe I can be the mentor, or maybe it's my assistant who's dealt with something like this. But, you know, there's always somebody who can help, right? And some path we can take, you know, if we can build that self-awareness within them to recognize, because we all, right? All of us in all stages, old coaches, young players, right? All professionals, you know, have things we're great at and then have areas that we're still growing at. And it's about not judging that, understanding that that's just life. We're all humans. But being able to like take steps towards working on it.
I think that, that surprised me on your answer is that since we started this conversation, you still haven't mentioned anything that has to do with pure skill.
Yes.
You only talked about people.
Sure.
And one of the things that here in Europe, it's a little bit taboo, it's the mental part. And I think that in tennis, it plays a key role. It's probably one of the most demanding sports when it comes to the mental performance, I would say. And I'm surprised because you haven't mentioned anything about UTRs, anything about like pure skill. You all always like talked about people mm-hmm. from the very beginning. What would you say? Would you say it's an important? I guess yes, but I would like to have your take on sure. the mental aspect and the mental importance to perform well as a tennis player.
Yes, and that's actually something that I studied in school. I have a degree in psychology. I have a master's education in sports psychology. I worked before college. I did a little bit of interning and consulting on the mental performance side with tennis players. And I think it is, especially the higher the level is, the more important that mental side is. And you see all of the best athletes in any sport, they are the quickest and the best to respond to those tough situations, to handle pressure. There's actually a book, I don't remember the name, but and they did a study on 2014 Wimbledon, and they took stats on everything they possibly could. And one of the questions they asked was, do the best players in the world really get better in those pressure moments? And the answer was no. It's actually the best players in the world in those pressure moments, they stay the same and everybody else's level drops. And that's why the gap looks so big. Like it looks like those best players play the best in the big moments. No, the best players can stay calm and trust themselves to do what they do in the big moments, right? Rafa Nadal, you know that on the deuce, on the ad side break point, 80 to 85% of the time he's serving wide. Everybody in the world knows it. Who's one of the best players of all time at saving break points? Rafa Nadal. Because he just in the big moments, he can calm himself down, get his heart rate down, right? And do what he does best. I talk about heart rate, the mental side of it, right? Has a physical symptom, right? Which is when you get stressed, your heart rate goes up, right? And you look at Cristiano Ronaldo, they had one of those heart monitors on him. I think it was at the World Cup or something, right before he took a penalty, his heart rate was at the low, right before he took the penalty, his heart rate was at the lowest it had ever been in that match. Right. So he was able to use techniques to calm himself down. And that's what we do a ton on is building routines, not just on the court, but off the court, to help them understand you can't control your emotions, right? Anger, stress, sadness. Those are emotions are not what we can control, but we can control how our body reacts to them with training. And we can't control our thoughts, but we can control how we react to our thoughts. And if we let them linger and affect us, or if we can let them go, and that also takes training. And so you see those best players in the world. It's not that they don't have negative thoughts. It's not that they don't have stress or anxiety or anger or whatever, but it's their response to that is something that is so well trained that it allows them to refocus into the present and be present in the moment and be focused to do their task for the next point. And then the next, right? It's such a fascinating thing that I could talk about forever and ever.
I see. And it's actually super interesting to me. I'm a triathlete and I love data. Great. And I can see you also being interested by that.
Absolutely.
And I could do lots. I do lots of research on, on my own because it's proven that higher heart rate also you burn more calories. Which of course then makes you have to have more carbs per hour, and that decreases your performance.
Absolutely.
So we focus a lot on VO2 max, the HRVs and stuff, which is awesome. And actually, when I was looking for you on the internet, I found in a lot of different places that you love data, that you're very data driven.
Absolutely.
How do you apply that to your program?
Yeah. So I mean, you know, I applied in our training in the sense that, you know, we're going to work on the most important stuff, the stuff that the data says is the most key to, you know, winning a tennis match. And, you know, we have specific, you know, on the court, we videotape every match and, have stats for every match. So we look at, you know, we have performance markers that we try to have the girls hit. And, you know, if they don't, then okay, let's focus more of our training in these certain areas. Because I think it's incredibly important. Yes, we want our girls to feel like they're getting better, but we want them to see that they're getting better, right? And you can't always see it in like a stroke, you know, because maybe we aren't changing your stroke too much, right? But we can, it, you know, and maybe the wins aren't changing so much right away. Like, especially a freshman comes in, she may not be winning every single match right away. Like it's a very high level, but okay, we improved your first serve percentage by whatever over the last month, or, you know, we decreased your unforced errors in this situation over the last month, or, you know, or so, or you're saving more break points because you're able to control, you know, your heart rate better, or whatever it is. And so, you know, and obviously in the weight room, in the gym, we our strength and conditioning coaches are amazing with stats and just checking everything. And, you know, so recovery is better. So, we're getting you fitter, stronger, faster, healthier. So yeah, we use it a ton. We set goals with it. Obviously it's not the end all be all. Sometimes it's just about heart and competing really hard, and on your worst day, your stats may not be very good, but you can still find a way to win. But it is a way to make things objective. Because I believe on the court, we want to be, you know, in the way we develop players, in the way we go about making them achieve their goals, we want to do it in a systemized, objective way. not just go this, you know, today we'll work on, you know, it's everything has a plan.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of Moneyball, the movie.
Sure, sure.
on tennis, but I am a marketer.
And, right.
I always tell the team that you always need to take decisions, but the most data you have, the better decisions you can take.
100%.
If you don't have data, it's just blind calls. But if you have data, you can see patterns. You can see
absolutely
things that are off. And then you still need to take the decision.
Right.
But then probably your success rate will be way higher.
Absolutely.
If you know what's actually going on. So it's very interesting. I think we could do a specific podcast to talk about, you know,
oh, for sure,
all these key point indicators are you're tracking for tennis,
right? Because exactly.
It would be super interesting.
This is great. You're asking excellent questions.
I try to. No, but it's very interesting to me. Like, I'm myself an athlete too.
So right. That's awesome.
And I'm super data driven, as I said.
Yeah, like,
heart rate affecting your power output when cycling, it's
right.
completely related. Like, your watt per kilo is the most important thing when doing climbs. The level of oxygen
right.
that you can absorb plays a key role. So it's super interesting.
So we actually consult with an Olympic level cyclist, or he used to perform in the Olympics, but then now he does VO2 max training. He does a lot of our cardio work on bikes. Like, he consults with our fitness trainer to, you know, help increase that. And I'm not as educated on that specific piece of it as I am, which is why I brought him in, because he's incredible. And I've definitely seen a big, big, big help in our players' fitness level. And because he has a really systemized way of tracking it and pairing it with our training, it's really good.
It's about being surrounded by people that is very good at what they do.
At what they do, absolutely.
You need to know the basics so that you can talk to them. You can tell them, we should improve here and there.
Sure.
But then if you have an amazing team with very specific skills, that's
absolutely.
What I feel. It's a game changer. And I feel that that's what you have now.
100%.
So we talked a little bit of your journey from hitting a concrete wall to taking over your first program and now developing this amazing program, and you being also able to apply all your training in psychology, all your interest in data, also your humanistic part. I think it's very important too. And now we're here in Germany, and you're looking for players.
Absolutely.
Right? And if you were to ask all the coaches what they look for, they would tell you UDR. I could almost write it down.
Scripted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what does Ryan look like? What do you focus on?
Yeah, I really focus on, and this probably isn't a surprise after hearing what I said before, but I really focus on the person and the competitor that I see. And what I mean by that is, you know, does this young person love being out there and fighting for every point? And, you know, are they present and engaged and, you know, first trying to play their game, but then also can I see them trying to adjust and, you know, whatever kind of, we always talk about like whatever it takes in the moment. And, you know, I look at the little things like body language and how they're talking to themselves and, you know, and how they handle frustration. Like, I don't expect a 16-year-old girl to go out there and in a high pressure moment with a lot of coaches, not get frustrated if things aren't going well. I expect her to be frustrated a little bit, right? Cause she cares. I want them to care. I want to see that they care, but then I want to see, okay, am I going to keep fighting through that uncomfortable moment? Am I going to, whether it works or not, am I going to keep trying to push through, right? And, you know, fight to the last ball, the last point. Tennis is a beautiful sport. you know, there's no clock, right? Like you haven't lost until you lose the last point. And so that's the first thing I look at is like, does this kid really want to fight and compete? And as I've said to a few of the young ladies I've talked to here, like I haven't even kept track of whether you win or lose. I keep track of how you carry yourself and compete on the court. And because as much as we would like to control the result, I'd be a really good tennis coach if I could always control the result, right? All of my players would be at Wimbledon today. But we can't. But we can control how we carry ourselves, how we think about it, how we fight for the next point. And then off the court, I really look for a young person that wants to be a part of a team, wants to build relationships with their teammates, with their coaches, someone that's respectful to their parents, that has a good relationship with their current coaches, and that we can kind of build this collaborative environment where the parent and I get along, the previous coach and I get along. And we, a lot of my players, I still talk to their junior coaches if they speak English, right? And so that when they go back in the summer, like they know kind of, okay, we've been working on this a lot. Like, what do you see? Like, I'm okay to ask for help, or like, you did a really good job with her with this. Like what? And we don't have to agree about everything, but like, let's kind of get on the same page of where we want her to go. And same with the parents, right? Hey, I'm trying to help her develop this as a person and this. And so that's why it's so valuable to be here, to get to meet so many great people, not just the players, the amazing young boys and girls here, but also get to speak with the families and help them build the trust that I'm going to take care of their daughter and help them grow. And also, have them understand what I'm about and kind of how I go about things. And that's really what I look for. Obviously there are tennis skills I look for. But the biggest, the biggest, simplest one I would say is a young lady who has a clear game plan and kind of a clear game that we want to develop, right? Whether it's, there are a lot of ways to win a tennis match. But someone who has a set of skills that can be developed and kind of an A game that we can kind of work around and it could be anything, right? It's someone who maybe has a great shot tolerance and can make a billion balls and they move great. And that could be your style, or, a girl who great serve and the plus one, and we can develop that game. And obviously when you get there, we try to make you a whole player who can do everything. But I think always, if you have kind of a clear plan or a clear style, that's a very helpful thing for me, because we have a good starting point and we can build your goals and your development off of that.
Yeah. It makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
Also, when you explain that you need to have that relation with the players kind of like to unlock the player and actually be able to help her properly. Absolutely. Right. So if you can meet her, meet the family, meet mm-hmm. everything that goes around her, you can actually identify if that's the person that you can work with or not. So it's it makes a whole lot of sense. And to my last question, we talked a lot about your growth.
Mm-hmm.
We then focused on your coaching style, on your preferences. What are you looking for here? It's of course a very difficult question to answer now, because you've been growing very fast on mm-hmm. these last years. But how do you see yourself as a coach? Like, where do you want to end up? Like, what's the future goal that you're setting up for yourself? Because that would be a very easy question maybe for a new starter.
Sure.
But you're already on in a very big program with mm-hmm. with lots of resources, right? But what are you looking for?
Yeah, what are the goals?
Yes.
So, my goal is to make Eastern Michigan the best program we can possibly make it. That's in the system that we have to develop our players as people, players, and students. That's in competing at the highest level against the best competition. That's developing our players to the point to give them the opportunity, if they want to be professional players, or to be just great professionals in the world. Yeah, obviously we want to win conference championships, make the NCAA tournament. We want our girls to be in the individual tournament, to be MAC champions. We play in a great conference. It's a great challenge. But yeah, just really to, more than all of the specific accolades, to represent our great university the best we possibly can in every way. I am so proud to be here. I think our university stands for great things. I think we have a very unique athletic department in that, you know, we have a huge international student athlete population. We have amazing, great coaches everywhere. We have an administration that, my athletic director, right? We had a very big school. My athletic director went to every single one of our home matches this year. And even the 4.5 hour matches, he stayed the whole time and was cheering like for my girls, like, you know, and this is a true professional, you know, who has a very large responsibility for our university. Right. And, so we have the right people, we have the resources. And so it's using those in a way that makes our university proud, that represents our university well, that represents our girls well, our coaches well. Right. And, I think if we strive for that every day, the results that we don't get me wrong, we badly want the results. Like, we're competitors. We want to win. We want to be the best. But if we focus on those things in our control, how we represent, how we work, how we treat others, I'm a firm believer that those results will be there.
Ryan, it's been a pleasure. It's been amazing. Thank you so much for this. And I'm sure it will happen. Sure. You're already there. It's not that, you know, you're at the beginning of it. But I'm a true believer also, hard work pays off. And any aspect, it might take some more, or it might be short wins. But I think it's amazing what Absolutely. We just explained today.
Thank you so
we
much.
We would need way more hours to go over every specific topic you opened a little bit to go more in depth. But I think it's amazing. Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much. You guys run such a great showcase. You guys help both the players and the coaches so much. And you guys have a great staff. So I'm really happy I came here. And thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thanks.